3, 2, 1.
And here we go, 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 go. Welcome to Not Another Nerdy Podcast, episode number 68. My name is Tom Van Zandt. I'm your host. And with me are my magical and my mental co-hosts, the official attorney of Not Nation, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Christopher Todd.
Evening. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, my friend. Good to have you back once again.
Well, I thank you for having me.
As I said in last week's episode, you're kind of a regular now. You're a regular fixture.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money.
And we have the man who brings the money. Mr. J. Money. Money. Money, are you there? Oh, man. Come on.
I don't think he's there, Tom.
Ugh, you got to be kidding me. No money and no Derek either?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, wait, what? What was that? Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, pinch yourself. It's real. He's back. D-Rock, Derek Mitris.
I'm always here. I just don't always have a lot to say.
That's right. You're mute. You're stuck on mute. That's why you don't usually speak.
Yeah, they always do Skype updates, so I never know what the mute button is.
Right. Welcome back, D-Rock.
Hey, what's up? Good to be back.
Good to have you back. We've missed you.
Really? Did you?
I did.
You're just saying that.
Well, no. If you actually listened to any episodes that you weren't on, you would know. I've said on numerous episodes you haven't appeared on that it's not the same without you.
I listen to the episodes that I'm on.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Those are the only ones you listen to. So we're here without money, which is very unusual.
That's some bullshit.
But that's okay. We got D-Rock. So two of
he's
the original. Yeah, he's very busy. All right. So we are here, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss with you the blockbuster, super blockbuster, unbelievable blockbuster, Avengers Endgame, which came out last weekend and broke all kinds of box office records. What's the tally right now, boys? Do you have a running tally on how much this movie has made since its release? It was
I saw it was like $1.2 billion after the weekend. That's the last I looked.
So in three
that's the last I saw as well.
In 3 days, the movie made $1.2 billion worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
That's almost as much as you've made karaoke in all your lifetime, right?
Yeah. So jokes like that are why it's great to have Derek back.
So before we go into talking about the movie,
did somebody just go on the set of Bird Box 2? What the hell's going on in the background there?
Oh, that's me. I just noticed someone threw a Mountain Dew bottle in my backyard, so I had to go pick it up. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ, your birds are loud.
All right, I'm coming out of the bird box now.
All right, thank you. Put that blindfold back on.
Would you rather have birds chirping or toaster ovens going off? You decide.
Yeah, well, it's you, so there's going to be some background noise. I guess I should just be happy you're here.
Exactly.
All right, Chris, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was saying, before we get to talking about the movie, can we talk about the experience of seeing this movie?
Sure.
Because I'll let Not Nation know, I saw this with you and Derek.
That's right.
And so it was a 10:30 show, and Derek, you went to a 6 o'clock show beforehand, or 6:20. So you went to a 6:20 show, left, took your girls home, came back to the movie, and you beat Tom.
Yes.
You and I were already sitting in the theater by the time he got there.
Yes.
What's your point?
You got to be a little more punctual here, buddy.
Brother, it's
I drove 10 miles home, then drove 10 miles back, and still beat Tom.
It's a 3-hour movie, dude.
And on top of that, I didn't even go to the bathroom once during the first movie, after the first movie, and during the second movie.
So I had absolutely no interest in sitting through previews, 15 minutes of previews, when I'm going to sit through a 3-hour long movie. So I purposely didn't get there early. It's assigned seating. It's not like I was going to lose my seat if I didn't show up early.
Yeah, but Derek had to go give you your ticket outside, so he couldn't sit through the previews if he wanted to see him again.
Give me a break. He just saw the previews in the first showing that he went to. The guy sat through...
They could have been different previews. We were in a different room.
He sat through over 6 hours of Avengers Endgame movie on last Thursday. I don't even want to hear it.
And the other thing, as I've told you before, Tom, and I've seen quite a few movies with you.
Here we go.
Have to talk less during movies.
Well, that's why I like having you go with us to movies, Chris, because he talks to you more than me. So.
Yeah, I kind of figured that out.
I don't talk. I react. And when I react, I look to the person next to me to react with that person because I get excited. If you don't want me to be excited... And you don't want me to react. I'll go to the movies by myself. I don't need to go with you assholes.
I want you to be excited. I was excited. But you ruined the best line of the movie for me.
I love you 3,000?
Yeah.
Don't worry. My friend Sam told me that, wow, Derek, your friends really talk a lot during movies, don't they? Well, I guess they do.
Oh,
and
God.
I won't say what it is because we haven't officially gone completely spoilery. But for God's sakes. You know, I had to hit you during the movie to shut up.
You did. You punched me. You did punch me. Maybe I deserved it. I don't know. I get excited, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Keep the excitement inside.
You knew that line was coming, right? I didn't give it away for you. Like, it was pretty fucking obvious.
I just get excited when you get to leave the house, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rare occasion. Dude, it was so obvious that line was coming.
But I still wanted to hear Captain America say it.
Well, now everyone knows what it is. You gave it away.
Well, they've probably seen the movie if they're listening.
I would have been just as furious as you are, Chris, if that was the first time I was seeing that movie.
All right. So I publicly apologize to you, Chris Todd, for blowing the line, even though it was pretty fucking obvious.
Avengers Assemble line?
Shh.
Yeah.
We haven't gone spoilery yet, have we?
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, at this point,
yes, that was the line.
If you're listening to this podcast, attention, all listeners, we're going to spoil the shit out of things. So go see the movie first if you haven't already. And also, if you haven't already seen Game of Thrones Episode 3, Battle of Winterfell, you better watch that before you listen to this, too, because we're going to cover that if we have time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's.
If you haven't seen The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies, make sure you turn off right now because me and Grace and Carly just finished watching it.
Nice. Well, let's get the bad, terrible news out of the way because this is breaking news. Breaking news, not nation. Hate to be the one to break it, but Peter Mayhew, the actor who has played Chewbacca. In most, not all, but most of the Star Wars movies, has unfortunately passed away today.
Sad day.
Exactly.
It's a great
loss. I was able to meet him years ago.
Yep.
Really?
Nice
guy.
Never
got his autograph, but...
Anything you want to say about him, Chris?
Well, he will be missed. He was obviously one of the actors from the original trilogy. They're starting to drop like flies. Part of me is wondering if he got to see some advanced footage from The Last Skywalker and decided that it wasn't a world worth living in anymore.
That's awful.
But I mean, now
too soon, Chris. Too soon.
Well, we've lost Carrie Fisher.
We have.
We've lost Peter Mayhew.
We've lost David Prowse, the guy who played Darth Vader.
Kenny Baker.
Yep.
Alex Guinness.
Well, we lost Alec Guinness a long time ago.
I know, but still, of the main actors from the original trilogy, we're basically down to Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
and
but you can't exactly even get younger. And you can't count them because they're technically dead in the movies. Spoiler alert.
And Anthony Daniels. I'm sorry. Those are really the only three, you know, main character actors that are left alive.
What about Billy Dee, you racist fuck?
He was only in two.
He was.
Yes. Billy Dee Williams is still alive.
He doesn't.
And
count.
I wish him many, many more years.
Technically, he's in three Star Wars movies now, because he's going to be in The Rise of Skywalker.
And he was in Nighthawks.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Rest in peace, Peter Mayhew. I love Chewbacca. Chewbacca's the best.
Sad thing about that is I just got my Star Wars Funko monthly subscription box in the mail today, mm-hmm. and it was a Chewbacca box.
No.
It's kind of creepy. I opened it up, and it was a Chewbacca Funko Pop inside with his Minock Hunt mask on. And the T-shirt is a black T-shirt with Chewbacca sitting at the Millennium Falcon chess set table.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I think the other thing in it is like a little mini mystery, mini Wookiee, not Chewbacca, a different Wookiee. And then a...
Lobaca, his son.
No, I'll look it up. I didn't hear the guy before. It must be someone from episode 3. And it wasn't Captain Tarple, so it was someone else. And the other one was like a Wookiee pint glass.
Well, Captain,
something bad was going to happen.
Captain yeah. Tarples is a Gungan, so he wouldn't be a Wookiee.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other general from episode 3, Tarful? The Wookiee. Who?
Tarful, yes.
Tarful, I think.
That's who I meant. Yeah.
So rest in peace, Peter Mayhew.
Mm-hmm. Your furry ass will be missed.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Let's get into it, shall we? We are going full spoilers for Avengers Endgame. Right off the top, this is 10 years, 11 years coming, 21 movies. This was the 22nd movie in the Marvel Studios, Marvel Cinematic Universe. The culmination of all that hard work, I'm going to ask you first off, did it live up to the hype, Derek D-Rock Metris?
Yes, I think it did, and leaps and bounds above that hype, honestly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, usually you're not excited for a movie and it's really good, or you are excited and you're disappointed.
So this exceeded your expectations.
I believe it did.
So on a scale of 1 to 5, what are you giving it?
9.
Okay, all right. You broke the scale.
Yep.
Just blew it up. Fuck this scale. Fuck your 1 to 5. I make my own rules. I'm fucking Derek.
That's right.
All right, Mr. 110%. I'll give you that for showing up this week. How about you, Christopher Todd? What was your feelings? Did it live up to the hype? Did it live up to your expectations? And what do you scale it?
I'm actually, my biggest problem is I don't know when I'm going to get this excited for a movie again.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
This and Infinity War both, which are pretty much part A and B of the same movie, let's
true.
Be honest.
Yeah, you're right.
Were just such fantastic films, and it wasn't just, they weren't just good comic book movies, they were really good movies, period.
Good acting.
Full stop.
Agreed.
And like I told you, I think this movie is so good that I'm not even going to give it a 1 to 5. I'm making a whole new scale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the new scale?
Instead of rating movies on a 1 to 5, yep. they're going to be rated on a Last Jedi to Endgame scale.
All right. Well, Derek and I would be down for that. We agree with that scale.
Mm-hmm.
I know the boys at Dinner in the Podcast, their scale goes to John Wick. That's like the highest you can get is John Wick.
One to John Wick.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll do Avengers Endgame. We'll set the bar there. That's good. Because I would agree with you. It exceeded expectations. And I would say I can't give it a 5 because it was not a perfect movie. 5 is perfect. It's a 4.75. It's about as high as you can get without being a perfect movie. But it did have its problems. And I will obviously talk about those as we move on. But awesome movie. Amazing. Definitely lived up to the hype. A great ending to the saga thus far. I know they're not. I know not all the characters are ending. Some are going on. But for the characters that did end, it was a fitting ending, I felt.
Well, it ended the story.
Right. And it ended specific characters' stories for good.
Yeah.
So,
and I liked, how can you be so critical of a movie, Tom?
What do you mean?
You're like, oh, there's tons of faults. You say that about everything we review.
Well, because movie is
why can't you just be happy?
I am happy. I just said I loved it. It was great.
It doesn't sound like it.
Derek, no movie is perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect movie.
I didn't say it's perfect, but the way you describe it, I'm going to point out faults and blah, blah, blah. It's like you're disappointed.
Well, there's just one main thing that bothers me about it, but I'm not disappointed.
Good stuff first.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to it, Derek. Stop trying to jump.
Is it because 3D Man didn't show up?
Four Bush Man. Although Howard the Duck was in the final battle, so that made up for a lot.
That I missed.
Yep. All right, so why don't we do that? Why don't we go with we'll stay positive. What was your favorite moment of Avengers Endgame, Christopher Todd?
my favorite single moment of the whole movie.
Well, the aspect that you enjoyed the most, yes. Storyline, whatever. It doesn't have to be a moment per se, but whatever little thread.
If I was going to say just a moment in the movie that was the best, and I'm probably going to steal this. I'm just going to jump on this first. It's, of course, when Captain America picks up Mjolnir.
Oh, yeah.
And starts going to town on Thanos.
Yes.
Agreed. That was just... And funny thing, the best moment in Infinity War is when Captain America shows up.
Right.
Fair to say I'm a huge Captain America fan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but that scene and that whole part with basically any... with Captain America taking on Thanos by himself, that was by far and away the best moment of the film. But what I love the fact that they split it into three distinct acts that were almost had different tones. Well, they all had very different tones that built up to each other just right, and they lasted just the right amount of time. I think the story, the writing was great. I mean, honestly, it's a time travel movie.
Right.
There's no way to do a time travel movie 100% right. Can't be done. But I think this got as close as I've ever seen. You know, I think they gave all the main characters and even the lesser characters, gave them their due, gave them the right amount of screen time, gave them the right amount of good lines, the right amount of action to do and a role in the movie. And I like how they really like how the six main Avengers, yeah, with one exception, I'll say, when we get to the bad stuff. Mm. I like how they didn't necessarily wrap up their stories just for the sake of wrapping them up, but they completed their story arc. I mean, if you look at Thor, you go back to the original Thor, he's kind of a little bit of an entitled muscle head who thinks that he's owed to be king of Asgard. And by the end of the of this movie, he realizes he's not a king. He's a hero. And they're two separate things.
Agreed.
Tony Stark starts off as kind of an entitled, arrogant, rich kid, arms dealer, for all intents and purposes.
Who had some serious daddy issues.
Exactly, who goes on to realize that he has some flaws along the way, but realize that it's his job to protect the people he loves and the universe, and he pays for it with his life in the end.
And it took him becoming a father himself to realize his dad didn't do half bad a job.
Exactly. And I think Captain America is always an interesting one because Captain America never actually changes through any of these movies. He's always the same perfectly straight moral compass, genuine hero.
He's like,
but in the end,
he's the Superman of the Marvel Universe.
Exactly. But in the end, he gets his reward for all of the good works that he's done.
He's kind of like the D-Rock of the IHOP network.
Yeah, that's exactly right, except he shows up more.
Well, and I'm busy saving the world.
And D-Rock, let's face it, he has America's ass.
He does.
That was a great line.
You would best have Springfield's ass. I don't know if that's saying much. No, but I thought it was just an incredibly well-made movie. They did right by all the characters. There's just enough fan service in it to make it interesting and to really pay off for people who've been Marvel fans, even the movies or the comics. I thought it was great. All those things were great. And it paid tribute to all the past movies, or most of them at least, really, really well.
All right.
I agree.
How about you, D-Rock? What was your... Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. I thought you were done.
No, I just want to say one last thing. And I don't know if you guys have seen this weekend, basically, FX, Sci-Fi, they've been rerunning Marvel movies for about 4 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to be bored, and Age of Ultron was on.
Yep.
And if you watch Age of Ultron after... You should go back and watch Age of Ultron now, because you start to realize that movie is linked into Endgame almost perfectly. There are so many things that start in that movie that come to fruition, somewhat in Infinity War, but in Endgame. It actually makes Age of Ultron a better movie. Not sure how they did it, but I don't know if that was intentional even. But,
well, I liked Age of Ultron. I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people say. It had its problems.
Bad.
But, yeah.
I just think that it's funny how this movie that just came out makes a movie that came out a few years ago a better movie when you see how the story ends.
Unfolds, yeah, absolutely. All right, D, hit me. What was your favorite moment of Avengers Endgame?
Of course, Captain America picking up Thor's hammer was one of my fave moments in the flick, but there's a lot of other moments that just jumped out at me, you know, emotionally, like, you know, when the guys came back through the portals, and at the end of the movie, when
Bucky and Sam were saying goodbye to Steve before he time traveled. That was really emotional. Pretty much anything related to Captain America was my favorite part of the movie.
Cool. Well, you stole my thunder a little bit. My favorite moment was when all of the vanished, because that's what they were referring to, all the people who got dusted at the end of Infinity War. They referred to them as the vanished. When the vanished returned and Doctor Strange and Wong opened up the little portals and everybody came through to back up Cap, that whole scene where Cap is standing there by himself and you have Thanos and his entire army coming, it's like, what's Cap going to do? And Cap's just sitting there standing his ground, ready to kick ass. He doesn't know anyone's coming to back him up, and it doesn't fucking matter to him. He is going to stand his ground. He's going to go down swinging. He can do this all day. He's about to show you that. And then, boom, everybody comes in to back him up. And, of course, you get that great line from Doctor Strange. Is that everyone? So, yeah, that whole thing was great. That whole moment.
Yeah, I liked how when that did happen, you kind of knew something big was going to happen, but it's like you just didn't know that it was going to happen right then and there.
Well, you almost forgot, because it happens earlier on when Hulk snapped his fingers with the glove on, that he brought everyone back. You almost forgot everyone was back, because so much occurred between that point and when they actually showed up. So it was like it was a surprise when they, I mean, you knew they were coming, but it was like a surprise. So it was great. It was very well executed, and I tip my cap to the Russo brothers. It's some excellent storytelling and a lot of fun.
But then on top of that, even though he did snap the fingers and the people came back, you really weren't sure if everyone had come back.
Or where they had come back. My wondering, and this is one of the things I have, that when we get into problems with the movie, I'm wondering how everyone found each other when they returned. I'm assuming when they returned to the point they were at when they vanished.
Well, yeah, because Parker and Strange and
all of the Guardians
are all on Titan, and they came back from Titan.
Right.
The Wakandan army all came through the portal from Wakanda. They kind of made a point of showing you they were in Wakanda in the background.
Did they show... was it Titan in the background when they came?
Yeah, you could see the. It was the same background from the fight in Infinity War.
Okay, all right. I didn't even notice that. All right, so that's cool. That makes sense then. Although it's kind of funny, like, how did everybody know? You know what I mean? Like, did Doctor Strange, like, telepathically alert everyone? Okay, we're all going to converge on this area now because Thanos is there and we're going to attack him. Like, how did he get the word out?
You saw that there was an entire army of wizards that came through.
Right. So
maybe he was able to get a I don't know. He magicked it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
He magicked the shit out of it.
Okay. I'll buy that. Yeah, that was a great moment.
And especially just because it was so quiet at that point where, you know, Cap and Thanos are just staring each other down. And all of a sudden you just see that little, it almost sounds like a sparkler when the portals open.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just all started opening.
Yep.
And you're like, oh,
and you knew, and you knew something was going down. Yep. It was awesome. And I love Thanos' line.
What I'm about to do to your planet, I'm going to enjoy.
And then they show up. I don't think so.
But the other thing, Tom, movie-wise, from when Hulk snapped to when the portals opened, wasn't that long. It was less than half an hour, I'd say.
Yeah, but a lot transpired in between those moments, is my point.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I'm just saying that it really was not that long, but a lot happened in between.
It's hard to judge how long anything happened in that movie because the movie itself was so fucking long. I did not think it needed to be 3 hours. If that's going to be one of my criticisms, I'm going to say that. I think they could have easily trimmed a half hour out of that movie and it wouldn't have affected the story.
I don't think that was a big deal.
Well, I'm not saying it was a big deal. I'm just saying if I'm going to be critical, one of the criticisms is that it was extremely long.
That's what made the movie.
No, but you could have told the same movie in less time, I think.
I don't know why you thought it was that long. You weren't even there for the previews.
Fair enough. The part that I was there for was pretty fucking long.
Okay.
I don't need a movie to be 3 hours long. That's all I'm saying. I don't need to sit anywhere for 3 hours. That's a long fucking time. I sit in a truck all day driving. I sit too much as it is. So that's it. That's just one small criticism, the length of the movie.
Yeah, but you don't have a recliner in your truck.
That's right. It sucks.
Well, next movie we go to, we'll get seats in the very back row, and you can do jumping jacks while we're watching the movie.
I'm not going to. I'm just not going to another movie with you since I'm not allowed to talk.
Just not that much.
I'm not allowed to get excited.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'll just sit home and watch it on Netflix when it comes out, and I'll make all the noise I want in my own house, and I won't disrupt anyone except my wife.
So you could turn to your wife and be like, oh, my God, did you just see Captain America pick up the hammer?
And she'll be like,
what does that mean? What's the hammer? What are you talking about?
Everyone online and like the comic book forums have been saying, oh, you better go grab your issues of Thor 390, you know, when Steve Rogers was the captain in his black and red and white outfit.
Daddy issues.
Picked up Thor's hammer for the first
time. Exactly.
Which was
who goes on to realize that
ever as a child and to this day.
Absolutely.
But it was kind of cool that it actually happened on the big screen, that little things like that you just never thought would ever happen.
Well, I will say this one thing. I knew it was going to happen when Future Thor when he took Mjolnir from past Thor and brought it with him into the future. I'm like, why would he bother? He's got Stormbreaker. And then I realized, oh, they're setting it up for Cap to pick up the hammer. That was a little bit on the nose. It was a little obvious, but I don't care. It was still a great moment. But that's why it wasn't my favorite moment in the movie. My favorite moment was Cap standing his ground against Thanos and his army, and then everybody showing up to back him up. And, of course, him uttering the line that I ruined for Chris, Avengers Assemble.
But it's okay, Tom. I saw the movie again. I got the experience.
Without me.
You're forgiven. I hold no grudges.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
We're still friends.
All right. I appreciate it. Good.
Both good.
At least we got the line. I mean, Christ, they've been teasing us with it since the fucking first Avengers movie.
And you know another thing about every Marvel movie, well, at least the Avenger movies, is that any scene with Thor and Captain America is priceless.
Yeah,
those two work off against each other so well.
They do. There's actually great chemistry amongst all of them. Like, the chemistry between Cap and Iron Man is probably the best.
Well, yeah, because there's always that degree of tension between the two of them, no matter how much they're getting along.
It definitely amped up during Civil War, and I'm glad they finally put all that to rest and got beyond that. That was good. All right, so how do we feel? That brings me to my next point. How do we feel about the time jump that occurred during this movie? Because, as we all know, in the first act, it takes place 2 days after the end of Infinity War, and they all travel to the planet that Thanos is hiding out on, his little Garden of Eden, if you will, and they track him down to confront him and to get the stones so they can undo what he's done, and that's where they find out that he used the stones to destroy the stones, and they're gone. Then we jump ahead 5 years. How do we feel about all that?
I didn't mind that.
Chris?
I don't care about it. Well, I do care about it, but I didn't think it was a problem in the story, but I think it's going to bear more on how it affects every Marvel movie from here on out.
Well, that's right. And Kevin Feige actually said that the events of Avengers Endgame are going to ripple effects on the MCU for years to come, and this is exactly what he was talking about, no doubt.
But think about it. They have worked the events from the Battle of New York into so many movies seamlessly, and they've used it as a storytelling device, even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show.
Right.
And actually, I think it's come up in the Netflix shows, Daredevil.
Yeah, it definitely came up in Daredevil. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been very good about keeping the continuity with these major events.
Agreed.
But we'll see what happens in a couple months when the next Spider-Man movie comes out, because, as you pointed out, there was a little question at the end.
Yeah, this is one of my problems with the movie. I guess we might as well get into that since we talked about our favorite moments. The thing I did not like, the thing I liked the least, was the 5-year time jump. First of all, I don't think it needed to be a 5-year time jump. You could have jumped a year or 2 years and had the same effect. 5 years was dramatic and drastic, and now that everyone has returned, all the vanished are back, it leaves a lot of problems because, as Chris pointed out, in 5 years' time, people who were married probably remarried or met someone else and started new relationships, and now all of a sudden their former spouses and loved ones are back 5 years after the fact. what are they supposed to do? You have a Castaway situation. You guys remember Tom Hanks' Castaway, how that ended when he came back from the island.
No, I never
thought
this
is what you were thinking about?
No.
Is people's new wives and husbands?
Well, no. Well, yes, because I'm married. So if I'm thinking in my own terms for my own situation, as people would tend to do when they relate themselves to these situations, if my wife was vanished, you think I'd wait around 5 years for her to magically reappear? Oh, no. She'd get maybe a week of mourning.
I know. Who would tell you it's time to go to the grocery store?
About a week of mourning, and then, you know, it's time to move on. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure you want to talk about this, Tom? This is being recorded now.
I would probably stop this conversation at this point right now.
Mrs. Bo does not listen to the podcast, boys.
I know. Oh, this will be the one episode she listens to.
Oh, there are other episodes where I've revealed far more of my personal life that would get me divorced over this. Trust me.
Okay, so you're saying your wife of a long time and mother of your three children, you give her about a week and then you're over it?
All right,
that's basically what you're saying?
Maybe a month. I'd be jammed up for about a month.
You sound like that. I'd be inconsolable for a period of about 10 minutes, and then I'd move on.
Well, I mean, life has to go on, right? I mean, what am I going to do? Still got to pay the bills somehow. Someone's still got to raise the kids, you know? Something's got to happen. So, assuming the kids don't get dusted, maybe they got dusted too.
Don't worry, Tom. If you passed away tomorrow, I would mourn for you for more than a week.
Thanks, D. You'd be on a new podcast.
Call me left and right.
Yeah, maybe that one you would show up to on a regular basis. Boom.
Well, they call me all the time. I'm always sleeping. So.
Right. But yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Those people, you know, you've got that situation going on. And then never mind the fact, as Chris pointed out, Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out. And Peter is back in high school. And he's got all his buddies back with him. So are we to believe that everyone in Peter's class in school got dusted and they all came back together? They're all still in high school?
Yeah, that's summer school. They got to finish their classes.
The only way it makes sense is if they all died and all came back together at the same time. Because otherwise, 5 years have passed and some of those motherfuckers have graduated. They would not still be in school with Peter. So you have a conundrum here with this time jump. And that's...
You're looking too much into it.
No, I'm not. That's the major one, the Spider-Man one with the high school. I mean, the rest of them you can get around because everyone's out of high school, you know? But, I mean, hello, that's a period of time when you're a certain age and you go through it and then you're out of it. So there's no way to get around that.
That question's going to be answered in a couple months.
I hope so. Maybe they time travel back for him. Maybe he's the one character that goes back in time and doesn't jump 5 years. I don't know. It's weird. It's very strange. But that's my biggest problem was the 5-year jump. I don't think it was necessary. Other than that, I mean, the rules of time travel also weren't given much attention. They kind of just did whatever the hell served the story.
Well, Banner explained it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he explained how I've only seen it twice, so I can't remember the line exactly, but he does explain how going back in the past doesn't change the timeline because your past becomes your future and your present becomes your past.
Okay.
That's how he explains it. So basically, you're taking yourself, and that's why, like Thanos, he was just being taken from the past and being lifted out and put into a new timeline or into the future.
Okay.
It doesn't affect the timeline. Time travel movies, they're impossible to do right. They just are. Well, because no matter what you do, there's going to be these questions.
No, there's a simple rule to time travel. And the rule is, if you go back in time and you change anything, you have diverged the timelines and created a whole new timeline. Case in point, they go back in time and past Gamora comes into the future. Because Gamora died at the end of Infinity War in order for Thanos to get the Soul Stone. So there was no way to bring her back. So what they did was they went back and they got her past version and brought it into the future. Now, by doing that, there is no Gamora in the past anymore. So there is a new timeline created as a result of that. You see my point? Because that Gamora is not there to live out the old timeline where she dies for the Soul Stone. So it's a divergent path. It's a new timeline that's been created.
Well, yeah, but the timeline where she dies for the Soul Stone still happened.
Yeah, it already happened. That's correct. So that can't be undone.
But and did you notice the thing about Gamora at the end of the movie?
She was not on the ship with the Guardians.
Yeah, but so did she get dusted? She was still part of Thanos' army when Tony snapped.
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize if she got dusted or not. I would think...
Yeah, I figured she got dusted.
I would think that... Yeah, but she was fighting on the good side. She was, you know what I mean?
I know.
So I would think Tony wouldn't have dusted her because he made it a point to dust just the bad guys, and she was obviously not a bad guy. He knew she was a good guy.
Well, how did he know? He had no reason to know at that point. And the last thing you see when Thor gets on the Guardian ship to leave is Peter looking at a hologram of Gamora that says searching beneath it. And then he swipes it away. He was curious if she was still alive, but we don't know, which is probably one of the things that will be dealt with in Guardians 3 whenever that comes out.
Oh, you mean as Guardians of the Galaxy?
That was great.
Yeah.
I really hope Thor sticks with those guys because that'll be fun.
Well, I think he will definitely be in the third Guardians movie. I think he's definitely part of that.
Meek and Quark?
Oh, God, I love that. That was great.
I don't know who the actor played Meek was, but that guy's awesome. I hope he's in the next other movies.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't really have complaints about this movie. I have questions.
Okay.
But the closest thing to a complaint I have, answers. Meek and Korg weren't in the final battle scene.
No, but Valkyrie was.
I would like to have seen them kicking some ass.
Because they're playing Fortnite. They're in the heat of a battle.
That's right. They were fighting, but online through video games.
Well, I wanted to see them there. And also, I think it would have been cool if Nova Corps would have joined in. But,
to be honest with you, you didn't know Howard the Duck was there. So they very well could have been in the background and you just didn't see them.
Yeah, they could have had their Xbox Live headsets on, too.
There's that. So I guess the question I have for you two, or maybe myself as well, is so what did we all think about Black Widow and her end and how they treated her?
There was really no way around it, was there? So you got to trade a soul for a soul if you want the Soul Stone. That's the rule. But now here's my next question for you. If that's true, at the end of the movie, when Steve brought the Soul Stone back, first of all, wouldn't he have run into the Red Skull and wouldn't you have liked to have seen that interaction? And secondly, if he returned the Soul Stone, wouldn't that release a soul? How would that work?
Well, see, that's...
Yeah, maybe it released Adam Warlock, who's going to be in the next movie.
So. Oh, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been
in
this
movie. And the main bad guy will be the Magus.
So if he went back to the exact moment when Clint got the stone and gave it back...
First of all, he would have seen Red Skull, which would have been... I would have loved to have seen that meeting between Captain America and the Red Skull.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I think it got explained sort of when Hulk said that he tried to bring her back when Hulk did his snap, but couldn't. I think the Soul Stone exists in its own dimension. Once you've made the trade, no matter going back in time or through dimensional travel, it's done. It's permanent.
It seems weird that you wouldn't be able to get something in return for the Soul Stone if you returned it. Or did he return it? Dun, dun, dun. Maybe that's the one stone he didn't return.
I can just imagine Captain America going to return the Soul Stone, seeing its Red Skull and going, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. That would have been interesting.
It almost feels like she's been with this franchise for so long, she deserved to make it to the final battle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Black Widow should have been in the final fight.
Especially when you had your great girl power scene.
Yeah, it just wasn't the same without her.
Your politically correct scene?
No, it was A-Force, man. Come on. It's awesome.
I hate A-Force.
You're out of your mind. She-Hulk's in A-Force.
Yeah, and she wasn't in the movie, so.
But she will be.
Or Medusa. I wish they went back in time to, like, 1980s Avengers when they fought the Masters of Evil. Dr. Druid showed up instead of Dr. Strange.
I thought for sure Kang was going to play into this movie with all the time travel going on.
Dude, I didn't even think about that.
That would have been awesome.
I didn't even think about that.
No, that's because you're not a real comic fan.
So speaking of comic books, what are you talking about? I just brought up Thor number 390. You wouldn't tell me what that number was.
You're right. I don't know numbers off the top of my head. I know issues. I have issues.
I did just get the Avengers Endgame Minimate set.
Oh boy, who's
it's,
in that?
Well, it's a four pack. There's like a couple exclusives. There's like a series going to Walgreens. You know, 2 4 packs, and then the four pack that you can get online comes with, which is kind of a weird combination of guys. So I figured I'd bring this up to you guys while we're talking about this. You get Tony Stark or Ant-Man or Hawkeye, and then you get Black Widow, Nebula, War Machine, and Hulk. So there's 7 guys you can make and only 4 figures. So I got 2 sets, and I have an extra Hulk now because you can pop the heads off and the bodies are the same.
Right, but Hulk's a bigger body, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have, like, an extra Hulk. It's like, what the heck?
What's
Why
the
would
point?
They do that? Why don't they just take out the Hulk, put him in a regular 2-pack, and put another random guy in there?
Well, what they should have did was make Hulk a Build-A-Figure with all the other 4 Walgreens exclusive sets.
Oh, that's a good idea, too, yeah.
Put a piece of him in each set, and then you get all 4, and you can build the Hulk. But nobody asks me my opinion on these type of things. They should. All right, boys, I don't know what else we can say about Avengers Endgame other than where do we go from here? Where does the MCU go from this point? Because they tied up a lot of these storylines rather nicely. And Tony's dead, and Black Widow's dead, and Steve's too old to fight. He passed the shield on to Sam, which was an awesome moment. How do you feel about that, Derek? You upset that he passed the shield on to Falcon instead of Winter Soldier, Bucky?
I'm not upset that they passed it to Sam. I just wish they would have passed it to Bucky first, and then in the TV show at the end of the first season, have Falcon take over. Either way, I would have been happy, but I kind of wish Bucky got it first. Mm. That's all, because he's more experienced.
What I said.
Gracie also agrees.
Yeah, all right, Gracie.
Gracie.
Yeah?
What was your favorite part of the movie?
Hey, was your favorite part of the podcast when your dad started eating and driving Tom crazy?
That was her. She's having a Reese's.
Oh, okay. She's a child. I'll allow it.
My favorite part of the movie is when all the guys appeared from the circle thingies.
Portals.
The circle thingies.
Portals, yeah.
Technical name for them are circle thingies, Derek.
Sorry.
Who was your favorite character? Did you like Spider-Man when Peter Parker came through? Were you excited?
I was happy to see all the guys who disappeared in Infinity War.
Awesome. I was too. That was my favorite moment in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We agree. And like it or not, you're related to J Money.
No.
Yes, you are. Just FYI, you are.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's one way to send them packing.
Yeah, jeez.
Your kid hates me now. So anyway, all right, so where do we go from here is my question. Where does the MCU go, Chris? Where do you want to see it go?
I don't know anything for certain, but it seems like the things that happen on Earth are going to be in the Disney streaming service, and the movies are going to focus more on space in the cosmic realm.
Oh, they're definitely going cosmic in the next phase, no doubt.
Obviously, Spider-Man Far From Home is what comes up next, but we're going to have the next Guardians movie, which is obviously going to have Thor in it. Doctor Strange just kind of straddles both worlds, and they're going to do a sequel to that. I mean, obviously, we're getting a sequel to Captain Marvel before too long, and I think they've already said that there's going to be the sequel to
Black Panther.
So the bigger question isn't where the MCU goes. It's about what the next big team-up is going to be. Is there going to be a new Avengers team or something of the like in the future?
Yeah, I think there'll be an Avengers team led by Captain Marvel, which Derek will love. He's a big Captain Marvel fan.
What did you guys think of her? I thought I didn't think they used her enough, but then I realized this isn't Captain Marvel's movie.
No, it's not. It's kind of a passing of the torch.
I think they used her just the right amount.
Yeah, she wasn't in it at all, really. Very brief.
Yeah, she came in at the end and blew up Thanos' ship. And I did love the part when Thanos headbutted her and she just looked at him like, what?
She didn't even flinch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of the weak sauce there, Purple. Enough of the weak sauce, Grimace. And your scrotum chin.
What about you, D? Where do you think we're going? We're going into space?
I just hope the streaming service TV shows are a little bit more interesting than the Netflix shows as a whole.
Well, I do think it's interesting that Vision did not come back. So the Wanda and Vision TV show that's going to be on the Disney streaming service will obviously take place in the past. And I don't know if I care about that.
I don't mind that.
Playing Susie Homemaker. Warden June Cleaver. Like what is it going to be?
No, it's you know, Vision goes over to Magneto's house the first time, knocks on the door. You know, hey, is Wanda home?
I see your daughter?
I was thinking about taking her out tonight.
I'll have her home by 10.
I don't have any Brotherhood of Evil mutant activities tonight that I'm interrupting. That's what I'm hoping for.
I don't think you're going to get that, but that would be cool. Yeah, we're going cosmic, boys. Get ready for it. They're going to incorporate Fantastic Four into this somehow. That's going to be your next big thing to replace the Avengers. It'll be centered around the FF.
I don't want the Avengers to be replaced, and the Avengers are not cosmic at their core.
Right. They're not going to be replaced. I just think you're going to have Avengers based on Earth. Then they're going to tell stories in the cosmic universe, and the Fantastic Four are going to be like the center of that. They're going to be like your main team, you know, with other...
Last thing, I just don't want the Avengers to be put to the back burner.
Well, I mean, don't they kind of have to be? Because how do you possibly top the movie that we just saw? Like,
that's the thing, you don't.
You don't. So you need to kind of let those characters go away for a while. And that's why I think it's cool Hawkeye's doing a TV show. So you're still going to get a Hawkeye story, but it's not cinematic. It's not in a movie, and you don't have to worry about topping a movie. Because you're not going to be able to. That is such an achievement, that Endgame movie. Like Chris said, that's the new bar. That's the new standard. That's your John Wick. So. Yep.
And really, this took 11 years to get to this point.
Right.
And they also started from scratch. Now you're starting over with a lot of elements that are already in place. You're not starting. I mean, you finished the whole. This was the Infinity Stone story, is right. What it was.
The gauntlet.
Everything from Iron Man to now was, or arguably from from the first Avengers to now, was the story of the Infinity Stones and Thanos, essentially, even though he didn't come until the very end. So now, are you going to bring in a new central big baddie? Are you going to bring in Galactus, maybe?
Well, if you're doing that, then you're going Fantastic Four.
Exactly. Mm. Are you going to start building an entire new storyline around one central baddie? We already saw Dormammu in Doctor Strange. Do you bring him in? I mean, Marvel's got plenty of really good bad guys.
You need Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom would be a great one.
Yeah, it should be Doctor Doom or Kang or something that would encompass all the teams, including FF, Avengers, Guardians, all those guys.
And that you're talking about an even bigger achievement than what we've already done. So I don't know. I'm just still enjoying this.
Yeah, I got to see it again. I've only seen it the one time with you guys, and I definitely need to see it again in the theater before it. Well, it'll be in the theater for a while. Shit, at the rate it's going, it'll be there 6 months probably, all the money it's making. But
Carly and Grace, you still haven't seen Captain Marvel, so they want to watch that now after seeing her in the movie.
Right. All right, boys. Well, I think that wraps up our Avengers Endgame talk. I think it's pretty obvious. Not Nation, go see this movie if you haven't already. We all loved it. You want to talk real quick about Game of Thrones Episode 3, Battle of Winterfell, before we wrap things up?
Sure.
We've all seen it, correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, I just have two questions. Did it live up to the hype for you, Derek?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you.
It did, yes.
Okay. Chris?
Mostly.
Okay, all right. I think I'm with you. Because it didn't live up to the hype for me. It was a great episode, but it was very overhyped, especially from the social media reaction. I was expecting, like, to be just wowed beyond belief. There have been better episodes of Game of Thrones.
Well, the ending was awesome.
The ending was a little bit disappointing to me, and I'll tell you why. We're going spoilery here. For those of you who haven't seen the show, you might want to skip this part. So we have the Battle of Winterfell. The White Walkers finally arrive, and winter is here. God, I'm so glad we don't have to hear that anymore.
I know.
That storyline is over. So they show up, and their big battle ensues. They kill all the Dothraki right off the bat, which I'm not sure how. Didn't they have dragonglass sickles, or were they just on fire? They didn't have...
Just on fire.
Well, that was stupid. They should have had dragonglass.
Well, they probably had dragonglass, too, but... I mean, it was a huge army.
It didn't help
anyways.
Them. So, all right, so the Dothraki die, and then the dead converge on Winterfell and start slaughtering everybody. The Unsullied and everybody else, and they're kind of no match for them because it's just this endless wave of zombies, and not zombies like you see in the movies or in Walking Dead, like supercharged, super fast, super agile, super aggressive zombies.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog zombies.
Exactly. If Sonic the Hedgehog was a zombie, that's what you got. A whole army of them coming at you. So they're infiltrating. And they penetrate the walls, and along the way, they kill a few characters that I would call C-level. No, nobody major. I'm waiting for the big death, and I'm not seeing it.
Euron and Jorah were both pretty major.
Okay, well, we hadn't gotten to that part yet. But
that was at the very end, though.
Yeah. I'm talking about the initial wave in. Like, I expected them to kill Grey Worm. They didn't. I expected them to kill Brienne of Tarth. They did, Sir Brienne. They didn't. I expected them to kill Tormund. They didn't. I didn't think they'd kill Jaime because I'm still of the opinion that Jaime's going to end up killing Cersei. So Jaime has to make it back to King's Landing. You know, so I was a little disappointed with that. There were no major deaths. And then they get through the wall and the Night King shows up. He brings everybody who's dead in the battlefield back to life to take on Jon Snow, who's standing out in this field of corpses by himself. And this is where you lost me, folks, because I don't care how good-looking Jon Snow is. I don't care how agile and how battle-weary he is and how good he is with the Valyrian steel sword. There is no fucking way Jon Snow is going to get out of that situation surrounded by these super aggressive killer zombies. I mean, will you guys agree with me that that was a little far-fetched that Jon Snow survived that encounter?
He was pretty lucky.
He's been pretty lucky through this whole series. I think his nine lives are over, dude.
Here's the thing, Tom. As I've watched Game of Thrones all these years, the White Walker thing has never been the main storyline. That's just sort of been a thing in the background that existed for, I think, the sole purpose is getting most of the characters together to fight against Cersei. That's the real bad guy in this.
Well, obviously.
The Night King, the White Walkers, they were just sort of a plot device to get to where the real good stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the conflict between the different groups that want the Iron Throne. Night King didn't want the Iron Throne. He just wanted to kill everybody.
Right, right. But see, so I'm a little disappointed in the way they buttoned up the story. Okay, it's great that Arya was the one to take him out. Yay, Arya. I'm a little disappointed that we never really got closure in terms of his motivation. Like, well, he never said one fucking word. Like, could he at least say something to Bran? I would have loved to just hear him say something at the end there to Bran before he killed Bran. And of course, the theory that Bran was really the Night King, all of that is thrown out the window. Now we don't know who the fuck the Night King really was, what his motivation was for any of this shit, how he fucking survived this long out in the world like he did. None of it is answered. It's kind of like Snoke being dispatched in The Last Jedi. You just don't get any answers. You don't get any closure. Fuck you.
Tom, they answered it three seasons ago when, I think it was season six, when Bran was north of the Wall. He was in with the first three-eyed raven, and one of the children of the forest explained that when the first men came to Westeros, they were chopping down all of the sacred trees and all the forest that the children of the forest lived in, so they were at war with each other. The children of the forest created the Night King and the White Walkers, and they actually showed him being created to fight the first men. But then they turned on their creators, and the men and the first men and the children of the forest had to team up, and they defeated the Night King by forcing him to go north, and that's why they built the wall to keep him up there.
Was that the episode?
That was all told in an episode a couple seasons ago.
Was that the episode with the guy living in the tree?
Yes.
Yeah, I totally did not watch that episode.
Well, see, you would have had your answer if you would have watched it.
I need to go back and watch
it. They showed the Night King. That the children of the forest had strapped a human to a tree and then shoved a piece of dragon glass into his heart, and it turned him into the Night King. in the same spot where Arya stabbed him.
Okay, so the dragon glass created the Night King.
Yeah. So all the Night King was just death, basically. And that's what Bran was saying. He just wanted to kill everyone.
Okay. But why did he want to kill Bran specifically? Because what was the Bran connection? Was what was
memory
the
memory of all of humanity? And he wanted to wipe out humanity. And you got to kill Bran because he's the friggin' Encyclopedia Britannica of Westeros. He's the internet. He is the human internet of Westeros. That's what Bran is.
I would say Sam is. Sam read all those books in the Citadel. He should go after Sam, too.
No. Sam's Google.
Fair enough.
Bran's the entire internet. Right. Sam is just Google.
All right, fair enough.
So, yeah, so this was all explained, and everybody said it wasn't explained. Watch past episodes. They told them. But here.
Well, there's your problem. It happened how many seasons ago? I don't fucking remember that.
Well, that's why HBO re-airs all this shit, so you can watch it again. But, and I know we're getting close to a point where we have to wrap up, but we have to, I think we can tie both of these discussions together in one important question.
Okay.
Who had the better finishing move? Which Stark had the better finishing move, Tony or Arya?
Oh, that's obvious.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I think they're both arguable.
No, Tony had the best finishing move. I mean, they both did the same thing. Tony wiped out Thanos and an entire army. She wiped out Night King and his entire army with one fell swoop and one quick movement. But I think
Theon Greyjoy had the better finishing move.
Poor Theon. Poor Theon. Yeah,
but that's what he gets for hurting John Wick's puppy.
Agreed. I agree. He finally got his comeuppance for that fucking puppy.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Time is a flat.
5 minutes into a movie, spoiler alert.
Yeah, Theon and Jorah Mormont. And the young lady Mormont, too.
Oh, Lyanna.
Lyanna. That was cool that she took out the giant, though, before she died. But, yeah, those three deaths were pretty bad. Those were worth mentioning. The rest of them, who cares? The fucking one-eyed guy with the flaming sword. I could give two shits. He died so many fucking times, I didn't care that he died the final time. And then Melisandre turning into dust at the end. You fucking dumb red witch. Go. Get lost. But other than that, I'm glad he survived, but how did Sir Davos survive that fucking battle? Guy is...
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's smart. He had a good hiding place. Jesus.
Pretty much.
Holy fuck.
Well, but did you see in the previews, you know, future spoiler alert, if you watch the previews for next week, the most important character on that show survived the battle.
And that would be?
Ghost the Direwolf.
Yeah, that's true.
Ghost lives. You can see him in the previews.
Well, he's the last direwolf there is, so I'm pretty sure Arya's ran away, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because she ran into it out in the woods and it didn't recognize her at first, remember?
Yeah, and she realized that she was born to be wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then all the rest of them were killed. So, yeah, that's it.
I mean, imagine if Arya didn't catch that dagger.
Bran, I thought Bran was going to snatch it and stab him from behind. That would have been, to me, that would have been a better ending.
Bran was.
Yeah, but that would have been, but see, Bran would have served a purpose other than just knowing everything. And Bran did give Arya that dagger last season. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it would have been awesome if he grabbed her by the throat, she dropped the dagger, and Bran caught it midair and just stuck him right in the back and killed him. That would have been so, I think that would have been a better ending. I don't know.
Well, you know those intellectuals, they don't like to get their hands dirty.
I guess. But so now it's interesting because there's three episodes left. We have three whole episodes to tie up Khaleesi taking the Iron Throne or Jon? Who's going to get it?
This last episode was going to be two episodes long. So supposedly this next episode coming up, number four, is supposed to be even crazier than number three.
Really?
That's what they're saying.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. I mean, it was a great episode. It just wasn't as amazing as everyone was saying. It was great. They could have did more. And what did you think about the cinematography? It was so fucking dark. Everyone's complaining they couldn't see anything.
Well, and even funnier, the guy who, the cinematographer, is basically saying, "Yeah, y'all don't know how to program your TVs."
Right, which is true. I actually didn't have trouble seeing it, and I thought it kind of led to the chaos. It lent itself to the chaos because so hard to see, and you're like, in a real battle at night like that, it would be hard for those characters to see, kind of put you right in the thick of the battle with them.
And that whole scene with the
dark iPhone sword. Flashlights on.
Yeah. But yeah, people did not like the darkness. That was a big criticism of this episode. That didn't bother me. But anyway.
That scene with the Dothraki with the swords going out one at a time. Yes. That was actually some pretty good filmmaking right there.
Yeah, it was a good storytelling piece.
I know if you're in the remaining device. Army watching that happen, your reaction has got to be, well, fuck.
Yeah, that was a good device. That was good. All right, boys. Well, we're going to wrap it up real quick recommendations, D-Rock.
My recommendation this week will be Cobra Kai Season 2, now streaming on YouTube.
Awesome.
Amazing, amazing, amazing show. Probably my favorite show of last year and this year for a regular TV show or web TV show.
Cool.
Highly recommended.
How about you, Chris?
Just go see Avengers Endgame as many times as possible.
Because it needs the money.
Even.
Cool. I will recommend
Game of Thrones.
I will recommend that you rewatch the original Star Wars in honor of the late, great Peter Mayhew. Rest in peace, sir. Chewbacca was amazing. One of my favorite characters of all time, of pop culture, for that matter. And he brought him to life in many movies. So thank you for all you've done. Derek, are we going to hear your voice again next week or what? Is this a limited engagement or are you going to be back?
Yeah, I'm kind of like the Undertaker of Not Another Nerdy Podcast. It's like I'm still officially signed, you know, contracted in, but I'm not contracted to appear every week.
Yeah,
I'd like to.
I see how it works. Okay, fair enough. Well, until next week when we find out whether or not D-Rock has joined us once again, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's been so long since Derek's been on, I don't even know.
What'd you do, forget his number?
No, I got him.
What up?
Yo.
I could record for like 5 minutes or something. So.
Are you serious?
Who's that?
Well, Gracie, I haven't seen Gracie in 3 days, and Carly's here. So.
Yeah, but I thought the whole point of starting early was so that you could be on with us.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if I'm with Gracie and Carly, who I haven't seen in a couple of days, it's kind of... You
know. You've had the day off all day. What are you talking about?
Not with Gracie. I just picked up Gracie from school like 2 hours ago.
All right.
Plus, I can't find my input for my headset anyway, so...
Oh, so what are you recording on right now?
I'm just using my cell phone.
All right, well... Keeping with true Not Another Nerdy Podcast tradition, we don't have the original three because Jay Money will not answer his phone.
Why? What is Jay doing?
I have no idea. He had the day off. He said he could record any time, and he's not responding to my texts. So it's just...
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, I guess so. He's probably at the casino.
Don't worry, he never responds to my texts either.
He's probably at the casino taking pictures of food. All right, let's get it going.
Let's get it on.
Welcome to Not Another Nerdy Podcast. All right, let me try this again. Derek, can you mute yourself if they're going to be talking in the background just so I can get through the intro?
Yeah.
Thank you. Apparently, they only have one room in Derek's house, and they all have to be in the same room.